And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 464. It is May 5, 2016. Well, we start out happy, but due to our fallen nature, we're once more off that pathway. That's the pattern that you will see today. As you are listening along, see if this doesn't sound like your own life. We're doing John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. We're just about to shift scenes here where the narrator of Pilgrim's Progress says, I saw then that they went on their way, that is, Christian and hopeful, to a pleasant river, which David the king called the River of God, but John the River of the Water of Life. Now their way lay just upon the bank of this river. Here, therefore, Christian and his companion walked with great delight. They drank also of the water of the river, which was pleasant and enlivening to their weary spirits. And besides, on the banks of this river, on either side, were green trees that bore all manner of fruit. And the leaves of the trees were good for medicine. With the fruit of these trees they were also much delighted, and the leaves they eat to prevent surfeits and other diseases that are incident to those that heat their blood by travels. On either side of the river was also a meadow, curiously beautified with lilies, and it was green all the year long. In this meadow they lay down and slept, for here they might lie down safely. When they awoke, they gathered again of the fruit of the trees and drank again of the water of the river, and then lay down again to sleep. Thus they did several days and nights. Then they sang, Behold ye how these crystal streams do glide to comfort pilgrims by the highway side. The meadows green, besides their fragrant smell, yield dainties for them, and he that can tell what pleasant fruit, yea, leaves, these trees do yield, will soon sell all, that he may buy this field. And so when they were disposed to go on, for they were not as yet at their journey's end, they eat and drank and departed. Now I beheld in my dream that they had not journeyed far, but the river and the way for a time parted, at which they were not a little sorry, yet they durst not go out of the way. Now the way from the river was rough, and their feet tender by reason of their travels, and so the soul of the pilgrims were, much discouraged because of the way. Wherefore, still as they went on, they wished for better way. Now a little before them there was on the left hand of the road a meadow, and a stile to go over onto it, and that meadow is called Bypath Meadow. Then said Christian to his fellow, If this meadow lieth along by our wayside, let us go over into it. Then he went to the stile to see, and behold, a path lay along by the way on the other side of the fence. 'Tis according to my wish, said Christian. Here is the easiest going. Come, good Hopeful, and let us go over. But Hopeful said, How if this path should lead us out of the way? Christian said, That's not likely. Look, doth it not go along by the wayside? And so Hopeful, being persuaded by his fellow, went after him over the stile. When they were gone over and were got into the path, they found it very easy for their feet. And withal, they, looking before them, espied a man walking as they did, and his name was Vain Confidence. So they called after him and asked him whither that way led. He said, To the celestial gate. Look, said Christian, did I not tell you? By this you may see we are right. And so they followed, and he went before them. But behold, the night came on, and it grew very dark, so that they that were behind lost the sight of him that went before. He therefore that went before, vain confidence by name, not seeing the way before him, fell into a deep pit, which was on purpose there made by the prince of those grounds to catch vainglorious fools withal, and was dashed in pieces with his fall. Now Christian and his fellow heard him fall. So they called to know the matter, but there was none to answer, only they heard a groaning. Then said Hopeful, "Where are we now?" Then was his fellow silent, as mistrusting that he had led him out of the way. And now it began to rain, and thunder, and lighten, in a very dreadful manner, and the water rose amain. And then Hopeful groaned in himself, saying, "Oh, that I had kept on my way!" And Christian said, "Who could have thought that this path should have led us out of the way?" Hopeful said, "I was afraid at the very first, and therefore I gave you the gentle caution. I would have spoke plainer, but that you are older than I." "Ah, good brother, be not offended," said Christian. "I am sorry I have brought thee out of the way, and that I have put thee into such imminent danger. Pray, my brother, forgive me. I did not do it of an evil intent." Hopeful replied, "Be comforted, my brother, for I forgive thee, and believe, too, that this shall be for our good." Said Christian, "I am glad I have with me a merciful brother, but we must not stand thus. Let's try to go back again. But, good brother, let me go before." "No," Christian said, "if you please, let me go first, that if there be any danger, I may be first therein, because by my means we are both gone out of the way." Hopeful said, "No, you shall not go first, for your mind being troubled may lead you out of the way again." And then for their encouragement they heard the voice of one saying, "Let thine heart be towards the highway, even the way that thou wentest, turn again." But by this time the waters were greatly risen, by reason of which the way of going back was very dangerous. Then I thought that it is easier going out of the way than we are in than going in when we are out. Yet they adventured to go back, but it was so dark and the flood was so high that in their going back they had like to have been drowned 9 or 10 times. Neither could they, with all the skill they had, get in again to the stile that night. Wherefore at last, lighting under a little shelter, they sat down there till the daybreak, but being weary, they fell asleep. Now there was, not far from the place where they lay, a castle, called Doubting Castle, the owner whereof was Giant Despair, and it was in his grounds they now were sleeping. Wherefore he, getting up in the morning early, and walking up and down in his fields, caught Christian and Hopeful asleep in his grounds. Then with a grim and surly voice he bid them awake and asked them whence they were and what they did in his grounds. They told him they were pilgrims and that they had lost their way. Then said the giant, "You have this night trespassed on me by trampling in and lying on my grounds, and therefore you must go along with me." And so they were forced to go, because he was stronger than they. They also had but little to say, for they knew themselves in a fault. The giant therefore drove them before him, and put them into his castle in a very dark dungeon, nasty and stinking to the spirit of these two men. Here then they lay from Wednesday morning until Saturday night, without one bit of bread, or drop of drink, or light, or any to ask how they did. They were therefore here in evil case, and were far from friends and acquaintance. Now in this place Christian had double sorrow, because 'twas through his unadvised haste that they were brought into this distress. Now Giant Despair had a wife, and her name was Diffidence. So when he was gone to bed, he told his wife what he had done, to wit that he had taken a couple of prisoners and cast them into his dungeon for trespassing on his grounds. Then he asked her also what he had best to do further to them. So she asked him what they were, whence they came, and whither they were bound. And he told her. Then she counseled him that when he arose in the morning, he should beat them without any mercy. And so when he arose, he getteth him a grievous crab tree cudgel, and goes down into the dungeon to them, and there first falls to rating of them as if they were dogs, although they gave him never a word of distaste. Then he falls upon them and beats them fearfully, in such sort that they were not able to help themselves or to turn them from the floor. This done, he withdraws and leaves them there to condole their misery and to mourn under their distress. So all that day they spent the time in nothing but sighs and bitter lamentations. The next night, she, talking with her husband about them further, and understanding that they were yet alive, did advise him to counsel them to make away themselves. So when morning was come, he goes to them in a surly manner, as before, and perceiving them to be very sore with the stripes that he had given them the day before, he told them that since they were never like to come out of that place, their only way would be forthwith to make an end of themselves, either with knife, halter, or poison. For why, said he, should you choose life, seeing it is attended with so much bitterness? But they desired him to let them go. With that he looked ugly upon them, and rushing to them, had doubtless made an end of them himself, but that he fell into one of his fits. For them, for he sometimes in sunshine weather fell into fits, and lost for a time the use of his hand. Wherefore he withdrew, and left them as before to consider what to do. Then did the prisoners consult between themselves, whether 'twas best to take his counsel or no. And thus they began to discourse. The Christian said, Brother, what shall we do? The life that we now live is miserable. For my part, I know not whether 'tis best to live thus or to die out of hand. My soul chooseth strangling rather than life, and the grave is more easy for me than this dungeon. Shall we be ruled by the giant? Said Hopeful, Indeed, our present condition is dreadful, and death would be far more welcome to me than thus forever to abide. But yet, let us consider. The lord of the country to which we are going hath said, Thou shalt do no murder. No, not to another man's person. Much more, then, are we forbidden to take his counsel to kill ourselves. And besides, he that kills another can but commit murder upon his body. But for one to kill himself is to kill body and soul at once. And moreover, my brother, thou talkest of ease in the grave, but hast thou forgotten the hell, whither for certain murderers go? For no murderer hath eternal life. And let us consider again that all the law is not in the hand of giant despair. Others, so far as I can understand, have been taken by him, as well as we, and yet have escaped out of his hands. Who knows but that God, who made the world, may cause that giant despair may die, or that at some time or other he may forget to lock us in, but he may in short time have another of his fits before us, and may lose the use of his limbs. And if ever that should come to pass again, for my part, I'm resolved to pluck up the heart of a man and to try my utmost to get from under his hand. I was a fool that I did not try to do it before. But however, my brother, let's be patient and endure a while. The time may come that may give us a happy release. Let us not be our own murderers. With these words, Hopeful at present did moderate the mind of his brother. And so they continued together in the dark that day in their sad and doleful condition. Well, towards evening, the giant goes down into the dungeon again to see if his prisoners had taken his counsel. But when he came there, he found them alive, and truly alive was all. For now, What for want of bread and water, and by reason of the wounds they received when he beat them, they could do little but breathe. But I say he found them alive, at which he fell into a grievous rage, and told them that seeing they had disobeyed his counsel, it should be worse with them than if they had never been born. At this they trembled greatly, and I think that Christian fell into a swoon. But coming a little to himself again, they renewed their discourse about the giant's counsel, and whither yet they had best take it or no. Now Christian again seemed to be for doing it, but Hopeful made his second reply. But we will have to wait until tomorrow to hear his second reply to Christian. My, my. Giant despair. The giant despair. Have you ever met him? Yeah. Okay. Well, that was all for today. As always, looking for a piece of paper. Here it is. Thank you for coming to be with me on the website today. I want to remind you to click on the store there when you're at Sermon Audio. Click on store. There's only 11 books there at present. That's because I've consolidated all 34 that I had into these 11. Believe it or not, I haven't finished the Through the Bible part because I'm still working on that. But there's at least 9 brand new books there, and I'd like you to just check them out. I think you'll be blessed by them, and I've made them just as inexpensive as it possibly can be. Tomorrow we continue with this. Today, remember where we started, at Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, and that's available to us today. May God give you a big draft of it this very day. Amen.